So I want to talk to you today about things that last, all right? Things that last. And my question I have up there, what are things that are going to last forever? So just we can brainstorm together, but, you know, certainly 1 Corinthians 13, love, you know, love's that one thing. No matter what you sound like or how great you can prophesy or, you know, all the mighty things you can do, the one thing that's going to last is going to be love, right? So what are some other things? Help me brainstorm. We're going to do interactive. The Word of God's going to last forever, right? Help me brainstorm a little bit.
Kingdom.
That's right. Operating kingdom. So one of the things I want to propose to you today is prophecy does not last forever. It doesn't. There's going to be a day when all prophesying will cease. The healing ministry will no longer need to be in existence, right? However, there's wonderful things that God does through those, right? We don't want to abandon it. But I want to talk to you about something connected with the prophetic that does last forever. So the thing that will last forever is prophetic wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is one of those things that will last forever. So I want to talk to you about prophetic wisdom. Because you and I are not just supposed to get words and blah, 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 right? But we're to appropriate those words according to the wisdom and the heart of the Lord, right? And so, you know, you guys who are running after learning to be excellent in prophecy, I want you to consider you need to be excellent in prophetic wisdom.
Yes.
In order to be impactful. In order to have the kind of impact that God wants you to have in the earth, in your ministry, where you're at, you've got to operate in prophetic wisdom. And I'll be honest with you, there's not a whole lot of material that's out there on this. There's a couple that I've seen. And there's nuggets of it that you see all around. But I was just, you know, I just began pondering this. God just started talking to me about it. And by the way, if your ears were tuned to hear for this, actually, the things that Abner was talking about a lot last night were nuggets of wisdom falling from heaven. I was like, oh, I was just soaking it up, Abner. I was just so thankful for all the little things that you were saying. They were just like raindrops on my soul ministering to me. And I mean that. I'm not just saying that. I really mean that. They were nuggets of wisdom. If you didn't get a chance to hear that message, you need to go hear it. You need to get a copy of it. You need to soak in it. It was really excellent. And God will do some shifting in your soul. He was dealing with me like all last night, Abner, with the things you were saying. He was just talking to me about that all last night. I barely got any sleep, but I feel great, by the way.
You look great.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I paid him to say that. So let's talk a minute about wisdom, and then I'll marry for you. What does it look like in the prophetic realm? So what is wisdom? Okay. So it's like, it's built up of different pieces like experience and knowledge and understanding and discernment and timing and skillfulness. You know, those are the things. When we think about wisdom, we think about all these different kinds of attributes kind of being mixed together and displayed somehow, right? And actually, when we think about wisdom, I have a little definition here. And some of the slide I'll read through you. Some I don't need to read. But going down to the second bullet point. So wisdom, it's like one of those qualities. It's really difficult to define. But you know it when you see it, right? Like you just go, wow, that was, golly, that was awesome. You know, like think about the whole story with Solomon and, you know, those two ladies who had the baby. And he comes up to them and she comes, you know, and they're saying, hey, she's got my baby. No, that's my baby, blah, blah, blah. You know the whole story. And then he comes down with the thought of, okay, you know what? Give me a knife. We'll just cut her down the middle. You can have half, half, and then we'll take care of it. And, you know, the one woman cries out, no, no, give it to her. She can have it. Because he knew that the natural affection of a mom is always going to take care and protect the child. The other one said, yeah, go ahead and split it. That sounds fair. So he knew. Well, you know, we kind of all know that, you know, moms love their children, but yet putting it into context in that moment with that, you know, that circumstance that was surrounded, that was wisdom, how he operated. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, it's hard to define exactly, but we know it when we see it. And we know it's an interaction of different attributes, and it's most encountered or recognized when in the realm of decision making. In the moment of having to decide something, you kind of recognize what it looks like. So let's talk a little bit more about it. So I'll just have a few different quotes about wisdom here that I wanted to mention to you. So knowledge is knowing what to say, but wisdom is knowing whether or not to say it. Are you hearing me, prophets in the room? Not everything that you get, you're supposed to say. Sometimes you're just supposed to hold it. And you have to know the difference of between when do I release, when do I don't. There are times when God shows you things, you're not supposed to say anything.
That's right.
You just are supposed to hold it. And we need to learn that as prophetic people, right? There's been a lot of damage from prophets who are acting in the prophetic office who said things when they absolutely didn't have the license to do so. They should have kept it. They should have held it. And it would have been better. Why did God give it to you in the first place? Well, maybe he just wants you to intercede. Maybe he just wants you to pray in that moment. Maybe he wants you to use that God-given ability to make declaration, of, to cause something to shift. That's why he told you. Not, you know, sometimes as prophetic people, we get revelation. We want to, you know, hey, you know what I heard, you know? And like we kind of get puffed up by that, right? It's the truth. We get puffed up by that. So wisdom says it's knowing when you're supposed to say something or not say something. This is kind of just a fun quote. So, you know, when you feel like giving up, remember why you held on for so long in the first place, right? I think that's a great wisdom type quote. So the biggest victories can only come sometimes with the biggest battles. I love that. I mean, that's, you know, so these are just kind of like little quotes about wisdom. Here's some scripture references about wisdom. And I wanted to kind of point these out to you, some of which you're going to recognize and some maybe you're not as familiar with. But, you know, let's look what the scripture says about wisdom. Proverbs 4:5 says, get wisdom. Get it. Get understanding. Don't forget it. Don't let it decline from the words of your mouth. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is a principal thing. So therefore, get it. And with all you're getting, get understanding. I just want to submit to you, if you're going to operate in the prophetic, you better get some wisdom.
Come on.
You better get some wisdom about how to speak and minister, because you're going to make a mess if you don't. Okay? Proverbs 16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold?
Yeah.
Even gold, how much better is it to get it than gold, and to get understanding rather than chosen silver? Proverbs 8, and I'm going to read to you some out of Proverbs 8. I love Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 has so much; it's so impactful about wisdom, and I just want to touch on that for a minute. Proverbs 8, and I'm just going to start in the first part of it. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the top of the elevated places along the way, at the intersection of the path, she takes her stand. Besides the gates opening into the city, at the entrance of the doorway, she cries out. To you, O people, I call out, and my voice calls out to all mankind. You who are naive, discern wisdom, and you fools, understand discernment. Listen, for I will speak excellent things, and my lips will utter what is right. I'm going to skip down. In verse 8, all of the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing in them that's twisted or crooked. Verse 10, receive my instruction rather than silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and desirable things cannot be compared to her. I, wisdom, live with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And you know the scripture too, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. I hate arrogant pride and the evil and perverse utterances. Counsel and wisdom belong to me, and I possess understanding and might. Kings reign by means of me. By the means of wisdom, kings reign. Now consider that. You know, if you want to reign, if you want to be successful, if you want to be prosperous in what God has sent you to do, get some wisdom and operate in it, because that's how kings reign. That's how they rule their kingdoms. So then I'm just going to skip onto some of these verses here. So think about this. This verse in 8:22, it talks about the fact that in the very beginning of all time, God was working with wisdom to create all things.
Yeah.
In fact, wisdom was with him before. And there's a scripture that says that all of his works are formed in wisdom. All of his works. And so wisdom is going to last forever.
That's right.
Okay? Because every one of his works were created in wisdom. So he's not going to just all of a sudden, whenever he rolls everything up into heaven, that he's going to say, okay, no more wisdom is needed. No, it's going to remain. So if you're going to do all this prophetic ministry, why don't you get some wisdom and do it with it so that you have something that's actually going to last forever.
Wow,
right?
Excellent.
It's going to last forever. And you can really be a blessing to people.
Yeah.
Amen? verse 35 says this, "For whoever finds me, whoever finds wisdom, finds life and receives favor from the Lord." Don't you want some more favor?
Yeah.
I sure do. I definitely do. So now let's marry the two. So what is prophetic wisdom? You know, We've looked at some of the definition about wisdom. We know what it kind of means to prophesy. So I'm just going to submit this to you. This is out of my pondering, out of reading some different material, out of just kind of praying about it. I just took some thoughts, and so this is a work in progress. Okay, if you see this and God like arrests your attention and He gives you some insight into it, I'd love to hear from you, because it'd be interesting just to see how God will kind of develop this. So this is just my first attempt, or one of my attempts, to put together what does this look like? How do you define this? Because you won't find this in the, you won't find a definition in the Bible. You're not going to find a definition in the Webster Dictionary. I haven't seen one. So what is prophetic wisdom? So to me, this is what I was thinking of. You know how when you prophesy, you receive revelation, and you get interpretation, and you need to know how to apply it. So I took that along with what I think are attributes of wisdom, how God wants us to release things. So to me, prophetic wisdom is receiving, interpreting, and applying revelation in agreement with the heart, the timing, and the context of its God-birthed origin. Okay, so whenever God gives you a word, all of these elements, I believe, are inside of that word. Whether or not you see that or ponder that, or they're really all in there. Because when the Lord gives a word, there's an intentionality of the word, right? He's doing something through that word. He has a desire for something, an outcome to take place, right? And today we're not going to talk about how do we make sure all that outcome happens, because that in itself is all another message. But there's an outcome that He desires to happen. So what do I mean by heart? So part of it is what I was just talking about. So the revelation itself, to me, is a revealing of the heart of the one who gave it, the one who gave the word. I just gave a word to Pastor John about anointing, okay, and about how God's going to take him to another level. So you could just stay at one level of thinking about that word, like, oh, Pastor John's going to get, you know, something else, and that's really cool, but, boy, I hope he can get there. I don't know. You know, so you could... so you could so you could... But it's natural. That's kind of what you think sometimes when you get words. But let's think about it for a minute and let's go a little deeper. Who was the one who gave the word? Well, hopefully it was Holy Spirit inspired, so I believe it was.
Yeah.
So let's just first just go with the assumption, yeah, that was Holy Spirit inspired. Why did Holy Spirit give that? What was Holy Spirit's heart behind that? And you see, I think if you'll start asking that kind of question when you get revelation, you're going to get more revelation.
Amen.
You're going to go beyond the surface, and you're going to be able to go deeper.
Yeah.
And we need more deep words. Who is tired of all the surfacey little things that we get, the fluffy stuff that we get up all the time? The Shabba Babas. Okay? I mean, it's okay. It's okay. Sometimes we need Shabba Babas, but, you know, sometimes we need something more than that because we've got a complex soul.
Yes.
We've got a complex heart.
Yes.
And we need a God who can understand and speak into all that and reveal heart and revelation in the depths of soul that sometimes we just don't ever get to because we're so up here and we're not going deeper.
Amen.
We're not asking about the one whose heart, what's that heart like? Who's speaking that? I just don't think you'll ever get there until you start asking a question. And going back to what Abner was saying, like just developing intimacy with the Lord.
Yes.
You know? Because there's things that are revealed in the times of those quiet moments that go so much further than what you get just at a public prayer meeting or something. So heart is one of it. Look for the deeper meaning. What is it that God wants to portray? You know, God's inviting Pastor John into a depth of experience that he's not lived at before because he loves him so much. There's an intimate place that he wants to reveal to Pastor John. And Pastor John, he's got something for you. In other words, when I gave the word about that, he's saying, I also got some provision for you that's going to take you into that next place, right? And if you'll just begin to call on me that, I'll release it and something's going to begin to happen in your life. And oh, by the way, I'm not just interested in anointing you. You're my friend, brother. You're my friend. I'm bringing you to deeper friendship, right? I mean, come on. That's what he's really about. And he's really saying, man, I love you so much. I can't stand being without you. Come to this other place where I've got more for you, right? So, man, if you guys just start digging into heart, the power of God is going to get released when you speak words.
Amen.
And things are going to shake. I'll tell you what, there's a shaking that begins to happen in the soul when you hear stuff like that. And that's the kind of stuff you get shook. You get all that crap that's on you because of going through life. You need that stuff shaken off a little bit. Yesterday, Abner was shaking off some crap from us. You know, as we were listening to that word, you know, some of that dust was flying off. There was flying particles all over here last night, Abner. I'm telling you, there was. And it was. And so last night, that's why I couldn't sleep, because there's flying particles all over my hotel room. Holy moly. So there's a timing. So, you know, it's kind of important that when you release words, you kind of give it in its right timing, right? And I talked to you a little bit about that, as far as when do you release it, what do you release, etc. But also that you release it at all, right? Like, it doesn't do any good if, you know, I'm supposed to be in New York this morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you come up and say, oh, by the way, you were supposed to be in New York at 8 o'clock in the morning. I mean, okay, well, thanks. You know, so there's a timing. There's a timing of when we're supposed to speak things. And sometimes we miss it on timing. Wisdom knows the right timing of when to say things. Right? And then context. So there's circumstances that are surrounding the giving of revelation. And I'm going to talk to you about that through a couple of different examples about the context. And again, that goes a little bit back towards, you know, when you release it, why you release it, how you release it, you know, what context do you release it in, how do you unpackage it for somebody. All of wisdom is involved in that. Amen? Okay, so let's talk about examples of prophetic wisdom. So the first one I want to talk to you about is Daniel versus Jonah. And now you know the story, so I'm just going to hit highlights of them. And in that, I'm going to illustrate where there was wisdom applied and where there wasn't. Okay? So Daniel, he hears from King Nebuchadnezzar, "Hey, I just had a dream, but I don't know what it means. Could you come and talk to me about it?" And so, you know, Daniel, this is the second dream, by the way, that he got from Nebuchadnezzar, and he's telling Daniel about it. So in this dream, he says, you know, "Well, here's what I saw. You know, I saw this tree, you know, being cut down and bands put around it. And then I saw these bird's claws growing on this person. And, you know, then this rain and the dew of heaven was like falling down on it, et cetera, blah, blah, blah." Like, that's a crazy dream. I don't know what it means. And then Daniel, you know, gave the interpretation. But here's what I want you to see. Daniel went beyond just giving a word. He then gave godly counsel and wisdom to Nebuchadnezzar, who just got a word that God said, "I'm going to remove you from being a king." That's pretty heavy stuff, don't you think? You know, basically that word was against you. That word was for your enemies, basically, king. You know, and here's what I'm counseling you to do. If you'll just humble your heart, if you'll have mercy upon, you know, the weak ones, you know, if you'll do, he gave them three different things that right now my mind's slipping me. I can't remember the three things, but he told them three different things to do so that it might be a prolonging of your days and that it might be a staying of the hand of judgment upon your life that this dream is talking about. So Daniel had compassion upon Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel went beyond just the word, and he was looking at why would God give this in the first place? Was God giving this word just because he wanted to release judgment on Nebuchadnezzar? Actually, no. If he wanted to just release judgment, he wouldn't have told them. He would have just let it rip. Right? But he didn't do that. And Daniel, seeing beyond and understanding purpose and the heart of the one who gave it, "Let me give you some counsel." And then he rolled it out. Daniel was looking after the welfare of the pagan king.
That's right.
Who was the one who was persecuting his people. And oh, by the way, he's the one who took me away from my family and put me in this foreign land that I got to go eat your meat and serve you. And that's what Daniel did. He gave him godly counsel so that his days might be prolonged.
Wow. That's right.
Come on, that's freaky weird.
Come on.
That Daniel would do that. He had no reason in the natural to do that. He had actually every reason to, like, "I'm not saying nothing to him, man. Can't wait till that band gets on him and that tree gets cut down." But that's not what Daniel did. Because he knew the heart of his king was that God was calling Nebuchadnezzar into humility. And there's another way to get there. You don't have to go through this. Oh, you can humble your heart. You can show mercy to the poor. You can start doing the things that are right instead of oppressive. And then God would have withheld his judgment. So I really love Daniel. He is such an excellent example of not only someone who gets revelation, but knows the heart of the one who gave it, and then speaks into that situation that he might breed life and he might bring health to somebody who is in the place of being judged. That's not the case with Jonah. And I know one day I'm going to talk with Jonah. I know I will. I will. I know I'm going to. I know. I really believe it. I'm going to say, "Bro, what up? What happened?" But I'm going to be merciful to him. You know why? Because I wasn't in his situation. You know, like those folks, the Ninevites that he was called to minister to, they were evil. They were pure evil. They would skin people alive. They would boil them in water while their family watched them. They were horrible. Okay? And God said to Jonah, Jonah, I got a word. I need you to go tell Nineveh.
Right.
And he went the furthest away from that he could possibly do, right? I am not touching that one.
Right.
I kind of don't blame Jonah. And I don't know, think about this. At the height of, some of this terrorism stuff that's going on in Iraq and Iran and stuff like that, you know, at the height of that stuff where you were hearing all this horrible stuff and they were kicking people off the tops of buildings and they were, you know, I think they put them in cages and they would lower them and drown them, you know, while their families watched and, you know, stuck them in tubs of acid and, I mean, just horrible things. Any of you felt led to go to that country to go give them a word? I don't know about you, but I didn't feel that way. That's what God asked Jonah to do. In the height of all that terrorism, that's what the Lord said to Jonah. Hey, Jonah, I want you to go say something to them. Give them a word. And so he went. Eventually, after being swallowed by a whale, etc. And God, you know. A little help. And, you know, but here's the part I want you to really see, because it talks about opportunities that God puts before us that we are sometimes just blind and ignorant to. So Jonah goes there, and if you read through the text, you could see, I don't know, maybe he gave like a 5-minute session, a 5-minute, you know, pronunciation. The town was really, really big, so I don't know if he kind of went into doors of the town and just said, you know, hey, get it right because God's about to judge you. Or if he walked all the way through, I'm not exactly sure. It doesn't really say. But we know this, that he gave his little pronouncement and then he left. And then he went to the top of a hill and he kind of waited for God to burn it down. That's what he did. I know they're not going to hear what I had to say. Let's watch it burn. But look what happened. Like the king heard it somehow. And man, he got stirred up. And then he put on all this sackcloth and ashes and he began to repent. And then he not only repented himself, but then he instructed the entire city, repent. And not only did he tell the people to repent, he said, your animals need to repent too.
Come on now.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one, but it's weird. It happened. It's in the Bible. You know, so the whole place is repenting. What a great time for revival, right? What happened to Jonah? He's still waiting for it to burn. Bro, what up? That's the part I'm going to ask him about. Bro, what up? When they were repenting. What up? What a God-pregnant moment. In that moment, you know, there they are repenting. They're in the place of change. What do they need at that point when they're in the place of change? Well, they need instruction. They need definition. They need understanding to be reparted to them. Who was the one that had it? Only Jonah had it. The rest of them didn't know what to do other than throw dirt on their heads and say, I'm sorry. The one thing that Jonah feared the most was his people being killed and maimed by the Ninevites. And God invited Jonah to be the change.
Right.
You can be the change, man.
Amen.
Whoa.
Amen.
Right.
Good word, dude.
But there was no wisdom in him. He didn't understand the heart of the one who gave the word in the first place. Because all he could think about was, I hope they burn. Do you remember the question at the end of the... Jonah, do you do well to be angry? I do very well to be angry. That's what he said. No, you didn't do well. I'm sorry. You didn't do well to be angry in that one. You missed it. You missed a move of God that could have had a definition on your people and brought peace and prosperity to your country for years and years and generations to come. Let me say this to you, and just as a pondering. Where does most of the terrorism originate from in our world? in the land of Nineveh. What was God maybe possibly doing through Jonah? It could have actually had impact on this generation, what he asked him to do hundreds of years ago. But Jonah wouldn't go after the heart, you see. That's why I think it's so critical. Go beyond just the word.
Yes.
Amen. Get into the heart of why God's releasing, and you might have more revelation and wisdom about what to do. Because you could be the answer for something that has been a festering problem for hundreds of years, for generations. But and God gave you a word so that you could break off the curse and bring life in the earth. Right? Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm just telling you, don't just stay at the surface.
Amen.
Get beyond it. There's more. You got a big God.
Amen.
How big is that guy?
Amen.
Let me talk about this story for a minute. Graham Cook. So he was asked at a meeting. It was in Scotland, I believe. And he said, hey, would you come and minister to all of our leaders? And so he said, yeah, sure, I'd be happy to do that. And you know, so he's going on. He ministered to several of them. And he got down to, like, well, I think one of the last couple of them. And the Lord showed Graham Cook this guy who was, like, one of the right-hand men of the pastor. He showed Graham that he had a dagger that was, like, about almost 2 feet long, 18 inches. The serrated, is that right, where it's kind of jaggy, like, is that serrated? You know, sharp on both edges. And he was pounding it into the back of the pastor. You ever get a word like that? You might have gotten something like that, but I'm telling you, man, if you got a word like, what would you do with that? I don't know about you. I don't know what to do, Lord, with that one. What if he just would have blabbed out, I see you with a dagger and you're pounding it into the pastor right now.
Come on.
You know, for immature people who are walking in the prophetic, that's what they would do.
Right.
We can't do that stuff, guys.
Right.
Why would God show that? He said, hey, Graham, here's a big problem. I'm asking you, Graham, to come and bring some deliverance in this situation that is all messed up, right? So Graham, knowing the heart of his God, knowing the reason why, put things into context. How do I deal with this? So he said, you know what? Pastor, would you come up here and just stand right in front? And then he had the leader, would you come up here? Now stand back to back. And then Graham began to prophesy about attacks that were coming against the pastor. But not about saying this man was bringing them. He just said, you know, there's an enemy who's trying to rob and steal and destroy. And he wants to take down the head, your leader. And you've been called to protect his back. And God has called you to become a shield and a protector for him. And God has given you grace to have discernment to see where things are coming from, so that you might know with wisdom how to speak into situations and break off attacks so that they wouldn't occur. And as he began to prophesy like that, and he did this in front of the whole group, this is putting a word in context, okay? Out of this whole group, the guy began to break down and weep. Like he just, because what was really God's call on this guy who was supposed to be a leader? The real call was that he was always supposed to be a protector. He was reversed in his role. He was doing the wrong thing. So Graham, having wisdom, knowing the heart of his God, and knowing how to deal with words in right context, began to pronounce the opposite so that it would have that kind of an impact. And the whole thing became wonderful and blessed. And it ended up with that situation. This is something he talks about in one of his, he has those three manuals out there. I forget, one is prophetic, one is called Prophetic Wisdom. I forget the other two what they're called, but anyway, it's in one of the books. He says these two guys, they became known in their region as the Jonathan and David of that region. And they ended up having a huge impact on that region of righteousness in there, because I think Graham knew who God was when God would show him secrets. You and I get to hear secrets, right? But you got to know what to do with them.